Welcome to the show. This is Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio, and I'm your aptly named host. We're always talking about big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I hope you were with me last week when I had a conversation with Ken Berger, the president and CEO of Charity Navigator. Ken came on the show and announced Charity Navigator 3.0. We talked about the directions that CN would like to move nonprofits toward and how it's inducing them to get there. This week, the morning after the big event, three guests explain how best to follow up your events and why it's important to include follow-up plans in your pre-event preparations. This is the first of my interviews from the exhibit floor at the Fundraising Day conference in New York City last month. Then, the Giving USA 2011 report. Holly Hall, features editor for the Chronicle of Philanthropy, will be with me to talk about her concerns from last year's report and whether they're answered in this year's. This is a follow-up to our discussion a few weeks ago on the show. Then, I'll be joined by Bob Evans from the report's editorial board, and he'll share some important conclusions from the Giving USA 2011 report. In between the guests, as always, Tony's Take Two at roughly 32 minutes into the hour. This month is the one-year anniversary of the show, and we're bringing on some regular monthly contributors, a team for legal compliance and a prospect research guru. I'll introduce you to them on Tony's Take Two. Also, if you've heard me speak and liked what you heard, then I'm going to ask for your help. Both of those on Tony's Take Two in between today's guests. Right now, we'll take a break, and when we return, it'll be the morning after the big event.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of Fundraising Day 2011. We're at the Marriott Marquis in New York City. My guests right now are Lisa Riley, Tara Sloan, and Jessica Weber. Their seminar topic is, provocatively, the morning after the big event. Lisa Riley is executive director of the Emmeline Theater. Tara Sloan is the principal of Marketing Matters Limited, and Jessica Weber is the principal of Jessica Weber Design Incorporated. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. Lisa, let's start with you. What
what can we do to extend the reach of events after the event is over?
Well, I think there's some sort of standard practices that we all think of as being kind of business as usual. Things like remembering to thank our attendees after the event. And one of the things that we suggested this morning is that it's particularly useful if in that thank you, you're making sure that you're still talking about the mission of your organization and that you're extending the feel of the event and reiterating for people why they came to the event and what it was about. We found in particular at the Emlyn that one of the effective ways to do that is if you include a link to back to the website or to say there were pictures of the event, to make sure that people have a reason to come back and look again at what you're doing.
So Lisa, are you sending that thank you by paper mail and also by email so the link is an easily, easy click?
We do both.
Yeah, okay. Tara, is there a suggestion you'd like to open with for extending the reach of events?
Yeah, so speak a little closer, please. I think one of the things we talked about is how important the pre-planning for the post-event is, meaning planning in advance of the event, who will do what when the event is over. And while that's often thought of as a boring task, it's one of the most important.
It sounds like something that typically gets forgotten in planning for the event. Am I right?
It's not only forgotten, but when it's remembered, the thought is, oh, we should have done this weeks ago. How could we have left this for? Because the day after, people are excited about the about what just occurred. They're patting themselves on the back about the event, but they're not necessarily ready to gear up the energy required for post-event. So if the pieces are put into place beforehand, they're able, it works much more successfully.
Okay, thank you. And Jessica, what advice would you like to open with for extending the reach of events?
Well, basically, we have a design firm that only works in the not-for-profit sector. We encourage our clients to create brochures talking about their mission that are included in the event materials. And after the event, when Lisa sends out a thank you letter to her attendees, that she include a small brochure on the organization and some giving pieces so that the giving opportunity keeps going on after the event's over.
Oh, really? So it's appropriate to include a solicitation material in the thank you for coming?
Sometimes it is, absolutely.
Okay, Tara's nodding also. Please say
definitely.
Some more.
Definitely. It's definitely important, and it's really critical because we would assert that events are not just about the event. It's about building a relationship with all of the people who attended the event. So one of the ways in which you build the relationship is immediate communication post-event and inviting them to support the great cause that they attended the event.
Okay. Yeah. And Lisa, in your work with Emlyn, you don't get objections to solicitation material that's included in the thank you for coming?
Well, we're actually, I think it is organization specific, and we're a little sneaky about it, to be honest.
Okay, good. Well, let's talk about it.
What we do is our event is near the beginning of our season. We have our event, big event in October, which is the beginning of the Emlyn's performing arts season. So our thank you asks them to come to the theater. When they come to the theater, we ask them to give money. So rather than including the ask directly in the thank you, we know that we're going to have other opportunities to continue to build that relationship, as Tara says. And one of the ways we want to build that relationship is to encourage them to be at the theater often.
Okay. So, Tara, let me ask you the same question then, since you're advocating this. Your clients are not getting objections to solicitation material sent in the thank you?
I think if it is done tactfully, it works.
Absolutely.
And
okay.
Clients are not objecting. And remember that many of the people who are attending the events are guests of other people. So they may not have necessarily made a contribution yet individually.
Okay.
So this gives them the opportunity to.
Jessica, it sounded like you wanted to say something about doing this tactfully and appropriately.
And another way of doing it is also to send out a newsletter a month or two after the event to all the attendees with pictures of the event and talking about it so that you start to capture a family of friends. It's really important when you have an event to capture the people who are there and to make them friends for life.
Okay.
And by doing a newsletter every 3 or 4 months, it gets that across, and we also include a giving envelope in the newsletter.
All right. But let's talk a little more detail about that first thank you that they get afterwards. Right. Doing that, including a solicitation in that, and doing it tactfully, appropriately. Right. What's your advice for that first communication after the event?
Well, usually the development director or the executive director will send a personal note thanking them for their attendance and personally signed. Never a mass mailing.
Okay.
It's absolutely...
Even if there's 750 people at
Even if there's 750
in the Waldorf?
People.
Yeah.
Even if there's 700... Because basically, how often do you get astounded when you actually get a handwritten letter with a stamp on it these days?
Yeah.
You know, it kind of knocks you out because everything is pre-printed. So that little personal note with a real stamp means a lot to donors.
Okay. And how about a little... Oh, go ahead, Tara, please.
Well, I just would like to suggest that one way to do a mass email, let's say, and make it meaningful, is to give the guests of the event ideas, ways in which the funds will be used. So talk about the specific programmatic elements of the agency. And let, so in other words, for so-and-so amount of money, you are contributing to support this cause or program that we have. For the next level, this is what you're, so that really makes it more personal and more compelling.
And that would be something that they get right after the event, Tara.
Right after the event.
Yeah, okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative. Lisa, are you spending any time at the event preparing attendees for the follow-up that the theater is going to send?
Well, we make, because it is the beginning of our season, a big part of what I speak about at the event is what's going to happen at the theater over the coming months. So they know that we want them to attend, but also that we need their support to make those events happen. And so there is a kind of nuanced, I guess, you know, sort of subtle pitch to say to people that this kind of work, which is meaningful in our community, doesn't happen unless we have your support. And so part of your support is coming to the gala, but the next part of your support is attending the events and picking some of these very specific projects. So, for example, last year, the theater needed a new projector because we have a film series, and saying to the gala audience, you can help, and this will make a real difference in how we can deliver our programs.
Jessica, do you have advice on that about the same question I asked Lisa, preparing people at the event for the follow-up that's going to come?
Well, we do advise our clients. We are basically a design firm. We're not a development firm.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So that it's usually our development director that will tell us what they need created. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. All right. In terms of the design of the
exactly.
of the evening.
Exactly.
Tara, did you have something? Yeah, please.
Yeah. So I'd just like to add that part of what I was opening with a minute ago was the idea of how the pre-event planning, how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
And by working with the event committee and the board in advance of the event to determine what next steps might occur. For example, we might have a parlor event at so-and-so's home. Planning and then planting the seeds for those events at the main event. So in other words, Tony, we're going to invite you in a few weeks to join us to learn more. It could be learn more about the agency, or it could be we're going to give you more value because we're going to deliver some content that's relevant to the mission of the organization. You'll be interested in hearing this.
I'm going to shift a little bit. What's your advice, about a situation where you have a chair of an event, and I'm thinking a bigger event, not like you were just talking about Lisa, Tara, maybe a parlor event, but something larger. And really all that chair is willing to do is share their vendor list and show up that night and chair the event. They're not motivated around all the planning and to the point of your seminar, the post-event work. Anybody have advice for that, working with that difficult chair who has to be the chair?
Well, I think in the Emlyn's case, what we try to do is build a strong committee so that, because it certainly does happen that there are sometimes prominent people who are, for one reason or another, selected to chair an event who either are unwilling or unable just to spare the time to do the kind of rigorous, detail-oriented work that needs to be done. And so we find a larger committee who will commit themselves to that kind of detail work. That's also the work of the board, frankly. So we prepare our board to say, you know, part of their job is to go to the gala and have fun, but another part of it is that they're out talking to people about what we're doing. And I think another way you can think about that is when, for example, a board member is engaged with someone who says, I really like the dance series at the Emlyn, one of the things that board member is doing is cultivating that person as a donor, coming back to the staff, coming back to the board and saying, you know, Joe told me he really likes the dance series. How do we make sure that Joe's engaged in the dance series? So there's lots, I think there are lots of ambassadors, and the chair is a very visible ambassador, but not the only ambassador.
Excellent. We're going to hit that, come back to the committee in a second. I'm with Lisa Riley, Tara Sloan, and Jessica Weber, and we're talking about their seminar at Fundraising Day 2011, which is the morning after the big event. Let's talk more about the committee. The committee is critical. Jessica, what did you want to add to Lisa?
Yeah, a committee is critical to helping the organization get the event off the ground, whether it be working with the auction, the silent auction, even when we design all the graphics, there's always someone on the committee who we work with to make sure that the designs we create reflect the evening.
Yeah.
And I've sat personally on many committees, and it's imperative that you get a really active, good committee.
So let's talk about that. Yeah. Who's best to talk about recruiting the right committee? Who wants to? Go ahead, Tara.
So in terms of the right committee, I would assert that it's really important to have people who represent the different target segments of your population. So whether that's from a geography standpoint, you have people on the committee who represent different geographies, or you have people who are different ages representing different prospects and current supporters, that you really think through, make sure the committee is representative of the people you want the agency to be able to reach out to.
Okay, and understanding at the same time, with respect to what Lisa said, that they may be supplementing a chair who's unable or unwilling to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yes, and in addition, while there is often one chair, there are ways in which to have journal chairs or committee chairs so that you're giving that chair role to more than one person, particularly in the situation where it may be that one of the chairs is in name only.
Okay. Since the topic of your seminar is extending the reach of the event, let's switch to a smaller event. Maybe it is a parlor event, a half a dozen or a dozen couples in someone's home. Is extending the reach of that event different than the larger 750 people in the Waldorf Astoria? Is there more any more personal approach because it was an event with just 12 or 20 people? How do we follow up to those smaller, more intimate events?
Sure. So I think these smaller events, you have fewer people to connect with.
Right.
And you have a more personal experience, a more of a one-on-one with the people who attended. So like, it's very easy to pick up the phone.
So a phone call. That's
a
what
phone,
I was gonna,
pick up
phone
the
call
phone
is right, yeah.
And find out what was interesting to the guest about the organization and what they're interested in going forward, learning, knowing, supporting.
Okay, but doing it by phone. Lisa, does Emlyn host small events like that?
We do have some smaller events, and in one sense, every performance that we host at the theater is a smaller event. One of the things that we found is very important at the theater is that someone, either myself or one of the board members, welcomes the audience and makes a real pitch for people to be actively engaged, whether that's giving time or money or coming to another event. I think one of the challenges in a small organization is people sometimes are a little hesitant to make the ask and sort of close the loop. Mm-hmm. And to me, when you say, you know, what's the difference between a big event and a small event, at our smaller events, the real challenge is to make sure that we have said very specifically, we need you and we need you to give and we need your time. And that can feel difficult in a smaller room than in a bigger room, but it's absolutely the reason to have a smaller event and making sure that that actually happens both at the event and after the event.
And plus, the people you invite to those smaller events are typically more committed.
Yes.
And maybe you're asking them to bring someone who doesn't know the organization very well, and that might be a strategy for broadening the reach.
Right.
All about personal relationships. So if the person who invited them is a dear friend or family member, they are more likely to be very positively predisposed to getting a phone call or a personal touch from the director of the organization who their loved one cares very much about.
Jessica, thanks, Tara. What about use of social media? Can you talk? I know your work is designing the event, but are you thinking about using social media in extending the event's reach?
It really depends on the size of the organization and if they can, in fact, support social media. I mean, we have larger clients who have someone completely devoted to it, who's writing the blog, who's... Our problem is that if an organization doesn't have the manpower to support it, there's nothing worse than going and seeing a blog that's 6 months old.
Right.
You know, this is the problem.
With a lot of apologies. We're sorry for not blogging sooner, more recently.
And for junior committees, I think social networking is fabulous. When some of our groups, our clients have junior committees and junior memberships, social media is the way to go to connect with them. And most of their invitations are evites.
Great. Please, Tara.
Increasingly, I think Facebook is a must-have for an event. And the earlier that you get the Facebook page live and the more people that you can get to friend the page, the more valuable it is. And it's interesting because just a few years ago, it didn't even exist.
Right. You know, now we're having a contest. We're giving away three iPads. Two iPads at 3:30. So if you each like the Facebook page before you leave, which we're set up to do right here, you can join the contest. Younger events. Jessica raised that. Lisa, are you cultivating people in their 20s and, say, up to mid-30s at Emlyn very much?
We are. I think that that's a difficult audience for performing arts organizations in particular particularly in the suburbs, perhaps, to garner. They certainly are very different about how they engage with social media and print media.
Yeah. Where is the Emlyn Theater?
We're in Westchester, so we're just north of New York City, in a town called Mamaronek.
That's not far at all. It's not upstate New York.
It's not upstate, but it is not below 14th Street.
Yeah, people from the city think of it as, a lot of people from the city think of it as upstate. I live in the city, but I don't think of that. All right, so younger people in the suburbs, not so much coming out for theater?
Not so much to a performing arts center. I think there's a different way that younger people engage with the arts. They are more likely, for example, to go to a club, somewhere where they can move and dance and interact, as opposed to sitting in a seat and watching something happen. And that's not just true in the suburbs. That's if you look at places like the 92nd Street Y here in the city, you'll see that there are discounts for younger attendees because it is a challenge to get people below a certain age to engage in that particular format.
Yeah.
And I think they're an even bigger challenge, frankly, to engage in your fundraising efforts.
Your work is designing events. Let's talk about designing events, Jessica, for people in their 20s. What are your thoughts there?
Well, we just did something that was skating thing in Wallman Rink. Mm-hmm. It was very successful. It was for one of our clients who only wanted to reach out to 30 and unders. And we did an Evite. There was a Facebook page, and it was very well attended. It was a way of getting younger New Yorkers to get involved with, in this case, it was the New York City Police Foundation. And slowly we're hoping that the organization will nurture them so that they'll become bigger and bigger contributors. And most of the time, these events are not very expensive, $250 or less. Mm. They invite their friends, and it's a way of sort of getting them in to become donors.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a way of educating them.
So one of the things that we think about, too, is that building the relationships is all about building a tribe of people who care.
Yeah, the Seth Godin tribe, right?
And so to build that younger tribe, you need a few key younger people who care about the organization. And reaching them and identifying them is a one-on-one conversation.
Jessica Weber, Lisa Riley, and Tara Sloan, their seminar topic is the morning after the big event. I want to thank you very much for joining Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of the Fundraising Day Conference 2011. Ladies, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome back. It's time for Tony's Take Two at roughly 32 minutes after the hour. This month is the one-year anniversary for the show, and I'm really pleased, excited to bring on some regular contributors to the show. Of course, we have Scott Kegler, who's our tech contributor. He's the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, and he joins us
once a month to help explain technology and its use for nonprofits. So we're going to bring on some additional experts, one set in July and then someone in August. Joining me starting on July 29th is going to be Jean Takagi and Emily Chan. They are both attorneys. Their practice is the Nonprofit and Exempt Organizations Law Group, or NEO, which is in San Francisco. And Jean is also the publisher of the nonprofitlawblog.com, and Emily is a frequent contributor to that blog. Again, they'll be with me first show on July 29th. Then on August 12th, I'll be welcoming another regular contributor, prospect research expert Maria Semple. Maria is the Prospect Finder, and you'll find her at theprospectfinder.com. She's going to share prospect research advice for your nonprofit, and she also will be on once a month. Again, first show, August 12th. Have you heard me speak, and have you liked it? Check out my blog post, which is called Have You Heard Me Speak and Liked It? That's at mpgadv.com. Someone is compiling a list of the best speakers in philanthropy, and I'd be grateful to have your vote. The details are at that blog post on my blog. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, July 8th. Coming on now is Holly Hall. Holly is features editor for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Welcoming her back to the show. Holly, welcome back. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks. We're talking about the Giving USA 2011 report. So just to recap from your last appearance on the show in June, there were some concerns we talked about from the 2010 report, which was on 2009's giving. Can you just recap a little bit?
Yes. Giving USA estimated that individual giving held steady in 2009 and declined overall for total giving by all sources by just a small percentage point. And we thought that that was a little suspicious given our calls all over the country showing much steeper declines in 2008 and 2009.
Okay.
So this year, Giving USA came out and has revised its figures for 08 and 09. And so now they're reporting a cumulative 13.2% drop in 08 and 09.
Cumulative drop in 08 and 09, and how much of a drop from 08 to 09? Because that was the 2010 report on 2009 giving. So what was the...
They're now saying it was 6.2% down adjusted for inflation in 09 and another 7% down in 08. So that's a cumulative 13.2%.
Okay.
It was the steepest drop in the 56-year-old survey.
Okay. So it's saying that giving is not quite as resilient as we thought in a recession or in bad economic time generally.
That's right.
Okay. Because the belief had been that it was quite resilient.
Mm-hmm.
But then how does that compare to the downturn, let's say, in the Dow or, you know, in other stock indices? I mean, it's not as bad as that.
That's true. First of all, I think we all have to keep in mind that these are just estimates. And we may never know how much giving fell, but it is nice to see that these figures have been adjusted to be more in line with what many organizations experienced during the recession.
Yeah. And it wasn't just your the Chronicle of Philanthropy's research, but there were other organizations as well that were saying that giving had declined considerably from 08 to 09.
Yes, there have been several studies that showed that. The Council for Aid to Education found a steep drop in giving to colleges and universities. The Association for Healthcare Philanthropy found a double-digit decrease in giving. And ironically, the Center on Philanthropy's own research with wealthy individuals found that the wealthy decreased their giving by large margins as well.
There was also concern because two advisors to Giving USA, Professors Shervish and Havens, had questioned the 2010 report after they did some of their own research on 2009 giving. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you and I, and they had factored in consumer confidence and unemployment. Have you seen any change in the methodology at Giving USA to factor in variables like that?
Yes, they did make a change to look at patterns of personal consumption. I asked them why they didn't use consumer confidence, and they said that they would much rather look at actual spending rather than confidence. They thought that that was a better measure.
Okay. And how about unemployment? Any measure of that variable?
No, they didn't look at that.
Okay.
Or they did not factor that in.
Okay. Now, we did invite someone from Giving USA to talk about the methodology of the report, and they weren't able to do that. And we do have Bob Evans coming, but he's going to talk about the editorial side of the report, not the methodology side, and he'll be on shortly. Holly, were there other things that you were looking for in this year's report, and did you find them?
Just the correction. They now show that giving in 2010 increased by about 2%, but that's still far from making up for the over 13% drop that was found for the 2 years of recession.
Sure.
So we're still not back to where we were. Another interesting thing about the survey is they showed that corporate support went up, and that does not really jive with what we hear anecdotally. Anecdotally, corporate giving is very challenging for many groups, and they still haven't recovered losses that they endured during the recession years. One possible explanation for that may be that companies are donating more products in kind donations than cash.
Okay, giving in different ways, in kind, and
mm-hmm.
maybe volunteerism too, I think, is one of the conclusions.
Yes.
than cash.
Mm-hmm.
Holly, we have to leave it there. I want to thank you very much for summarizing and coming back on the show and following up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Pleasure. Holly Hall is the features editor at the Chronicle of Philanthropy. With me now is Bob Evans. Bob is founder and managing director of the EHL Consulting Group, but he's here in his capacity as a member of the editorial review board of Giving USA. Bob Evans, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to have you. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Giving USA has 10 pretty firm conclusions based on its research. Why don't you just remind the audience what the methodology is, what the process is generally behind Giving USA, and then we'll get into a couple of these conclusions that you have.
Giving USA represents a very sophisticated compiling of data from a variety of sources, including the IRS, and intended to be a reflection of trends in philanthropy in America. In every instance, it's an approximation, presumably best guess, and an intelligent set of guess about how generous Americans figures are revised twice and takes into account additional input from agencies and data that the IRS receives from nonprofits as well as filing individuals and corporations as well as foundations. But we give that accurate, careful analysis of how generous Americans are. In fact, Americans are the most people on the planet.
Bob, I'm going to interrupt you. Would you mind hanging up, please, and calling right back? We have an awful connection.
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Bob Evans. He's on the editorial board of the Giving USA report, and he's unfortunately cutting out kind of badly. He was saying that it is an annual report, and it is revised twice. So as Holly Hall pointed out, each report is an estimate, so we want to be fair to Giving USA, recognizing that each report is an estimate, and then they do revise their numbers twice after the initial report, as Bob Evans was saying. Bob, you back with us?
I am on. Yeah.
Okay, I'm hoping we have a better connection. Let's move to some of the conclusions about giving. One of those is that Americans remain generous in difficult economic times. What leads the Giving USA and the Giving Institute, the sponsors of the report, to conclude that?
Even though we have witnessed the Great Recession over the last several years, Americans responded incredibly generously, where there were skills for giving and skills for making transformation gifts at all levels. This was a testimonial to the fact that America remained generous and put philanthropy as one of the important priorities in the
Bob, I'll tell you what. We have an awful connection. You're not coming through again. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. The producer will call you and give you some advice about how maybe we can improve this. So why don't you hang up? We're going to take a break, and when we return, it'll be Bob Evans talking about Giving USA 2011 report. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back. We think we've got technical problems solved and a much better connection with Bob Evans. Bob, you're still there, right?
I'm here.
Okay, that is much, much better. This is an important point, so I'm actually going to just ask you to repeat what you had said about the Giving USA report conclusion that Americans remain generous in difficult economic times.
Americans have never shied away from giving to legitimate nonprofits across the United States and, in fact, across the globe. $291 billion were distributed to nonprofits during 2010, according to the Giving USA report. And even though that's a slight uptick from what was reported both in 2008 and 2009, this is a great testimonial to American generosity. No other country, no other group of people anywhere on the planet give as generously, give as frequently, and give as passionately as what has been the result over the last year. And I think this is something that is to be highlighted. Giving is certainly an important part of the U.S. economy, and people respond when called upon and where there is an important need.
To balance, I think you heard Holly Hall. She was on just before you. There was a decline, a 13% roughly decline, cumulative decline in 2008 and 2009 because of the recession.
I admit it. You know, there's a impact on the economy that does reflect in terms of giving, but still giving was a very serious component of the U.S. economy, and that will not vanish.
Another conclusion is that planned giving must, and that's the report's word, must be incorporated into fundraising. Planned giving, of course, the long-term giving through wills and charitable trusts, charitable annuities. Why does the report conclude that planned giving is so important?
Approximately 8% of all giving in America came from planned giving or bequests in 2010. So we're talking about $23 billion worth of support for nonprofits. This is more than corporate giving, and is a very serious effort, especially as baby boomers are aging and as Americans are aging. So that one of the things that we're saying to nonprofits across America is that you must incorporate a planned giving component into your fundraising master plan. If you're not considering planned giving, you're really going to be left out in the wilds, because this is such an important part of activity. The colleges and universities of America have really been working the baby boomer population, and it's starting to pay off handsomely for them in the form of bequests.
Okay. That 8% figure that you cited, that's 8% of total giving or 8% of the individual giving number?
It's 8% of all giving in America in 2010.
Okay. And I think these first two conclusions that we're talking about, that Americans as individuals remain generous and that planned giving must be incorporated, that points to the importance of individual giving.
And in fact, one of the things that we say is that 87% of all giving in America truly comes from individuals living in debt, because a certain percentage of foundation giving can be attributed to individuals, and a certain percentage of corporate giving can be attributed to individuals.
And you're able to tease that out in the report for us, yeah?
Yeah. So we say 87% of all giving comes from individuals living in debt.
Okay. And that includes the foundation and corporate support that individuals are responsible for.
Definitely a component of corporate giving and a component of foundation giving.
Okay.
Definitely.
And the foundation support was not reduced as much as foundations had threatened or thought would be the case.
We had expected much deeper cuts by foundations in 2010, primarily because many foundations, especially large ones, stepped up during the Great Recession with larger than expected support for nonprofit projects and causes. Because most foundations use a 3, 4, or 5 year rolling average in terms of return on their principal, we had expected much deeper decline from foundations. But thankfully, Wall Street cooperated, and the portfolios of foundations were able to recover very significantly from the downturns of 2008 and 2009. So the nonprofit world received much stronger support than we would have projected.
I think that this will be a question mark that also will continue for another year or two as foundation portfolios try to recover what they had lost during the Great Recession.
What's the proportion of total giving that foundation support contributes?
Foundation support is responsible for $41 billion, or about 14% of the pie for 2010.
And just curious, how does that compare with corporate support?
Corporate support is only 5%.
Ah, okay.
So that again, when you add individual giving, which is 73%, bequest giving, which is 8%, foundations 14%, and corporate at 5%, it's 100%.
Yeah. And we have just about a minute and a half before we have to close. Arts and culture giving saw increases. What can you tell us about that?
Arts and culture go up and down like a yo-yo, especially because of very large gifts, both from individuals and foundations. In 2010, arts and culture saw a larger piece of the pie, 5%. It was 4%. And we think this is a good sign about future support for the arts in America.
But that increase was due to some, I guess, a few very large gifts. Several
very, very large gifts, which is also what impacts this category of the 10 categories especially.
All right. So that may, I mean, for most arts and culture organizations, unless they were among the few who got some of these large gifts, they may not be feeling that increase.
That's right. But there's a mentality here that we believe has turned around, and we're especially optimistic and are telling that to our clients, that they have to work harder and talk very directly with donors at all levels. But we're especially optimistic about that category.
Bob Evans is founder and managing director of the EHL Consulting Group, and he was sharing his expertise as a member of the editorial review board of Giving USA. Bob, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
It's been a pleasure having you. I want to thank Lisa Riley, Tara Sloan, and Jessica Weber from Fundraising Day 2011 and letting us replay that interview from June, and also, of course, Holly Hall from the Chronicle of Philanthropy and Bob Evans from the editorial review board of Giving USA. Next week, partnerships, joint ventures, mergers, and acquisitions. Sandra Lamb of Lamb Advisors talks about collaborations of all kinds between nonprofits. When are they right for you? When should your board be talking about them? How do you decide what organizations to collaborate with, and what's the process? Then, engaging Generations X and Y. Leslie Goldman and Casey Rotter from the U.S. Fund for UNICEF share their expertise in this area. They are both in those generations, but I did not ask their ages. All of next week's guests were recorded at the Fundraising Day conference in New York City last month, and in the coming weeks I'll have even more of those conversations from Fundraising Day. You can keep up with what's coming up by signing up for our insider email alerts. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com, and then the name of this show. Sign up there for the alerts and like us, become a fan of the show. You can listen to the show anytime on the device of your choice by subscribing on iTunes, and you'll find our iTunes page at nonprofitradio.net. The creative producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is Claire Meyerhoff. Today's line producer and the owner of Talking Alternative Broadcasting is Sam Leibowitz. Our social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. This is Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio for July 8th, 2011. I hope you'll be with me on July 15th, 2011, right here on Talking Alternative Broadcasting, always at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison.
As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
TalkingAlternative.com.